George, you sung that song, brother. I'm telling you what, I'm ready to lean on him, man. He leaning in my direction. Amen. No, I'm not even going to try it, George. You did it well. Are you at John chapter 13? When you get to chapter 13, please go with me, please, to verse 21. 13 and 21. And we're going to read through verse 27, 13, 21 through 27. I'll read. Just follow along with me. I'm reading from the King James version of the Bible. And it says, when Jesus has thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now, we know the setting here is that the disciples are sitting all around him. He had just got finished washing their feet, partaking of communion, and we know that he was going towards his death. He was going towards his death, and so he's now not predicting or prophesying and predicting, letting people know that, hey, I know what you don't think I know, but one of you are going to betray me, amen? Hallelujah. You know, one thing I've learned over the years, betrayal hate helps you to get into your destiny. Y'all need to hear this. Betrayal will help you get into your destiny. Jesus did what he needed to do on behalf of the Father simply because somebody betrayed him. Amen? Oh, my God. I got it. We should just receive another offering on that one right there. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It goes on to say, verse 22, then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him. Beckoned to who? The disciple that he loved, John. That he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop or a morsel when I have dipped it. Talking about the bread that he had dipped, the morsel of bread, a sop of bread, sopping it and passing it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest quickly, that thou doest do what? Quickly. Now let's look at verse 23 and let's declare that together out loud. Amen. Verse 23, and it reads, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Amen. We thank God for the readers, for the hearers, and more importantly, for the doers of his word. Amen. Look at your neighbor, give him a high five and tell him it's all about him. Jesus, you may be seated. Amen. In the presence of our life-changing King. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited about the opportunity that we have, church, as a body of believers, the opportunity that we have coming into 2014. I'm still standing. Amen. I don't know about you. Amen. But we're still standing. And as long as we're still standing, we can still fight the good fight of faith. Amen. And so as we enter into 2014, the theme that the Lord has so pressed upon us for this year is leaning upon Jesus. You know, the revelation of the song that George and them was one of the verses in there about how he's leaning towards us in my direction. Amen. See, the reason that we lean on Jesus is simply that, because he's leaning in our direction here. Amen. And we're going to see this today. Today, I want to speak specifically from the subject, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Somebody say, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, we're going to be doing a series of messages on leaning on Jesus. I want to lay some foundation to this as we move forward here, particularly at the beginning of the year, that we may lay the foundation of what we're talking here. And essentially what we're talking about, the buzzword is love. It's love. You think about last year, love, peace, and blessing. Amen. The foundation of everything, amen, is really love. The foundation of what we do as a body of believers, the foundation of what you do as an individual living for God must be love. It must be love. And love is this thing, amen, that we must be able to receive if we're able, going to be able to give it. Amen. Say, I must be able to receive the love of God if I'm going to be able to give the love of God. We got to be able to receive it here. So there's some things I want us to begin to see here. John, the name John means a gift of God. I was thinking, well, God, I thought that was Matthew. Now, Matthew is a gift from God. John is a gift of God. And I want you to understand here, John was a gift of God to a suffering son named Jesus. Y'all need to hear this. He was a gift of God. Amen. His name means that. And we're going to see here as we certainly move forward this morning here. This word leaning here means it takes on the connotation of like a guest, someone to lie, to lean, to sit down at a meal table. When they partook of meals in those days, many times they sat down, and it was sitting down real low here. And so what I want us to say, some folks have taken this text and said that Jesus was gay because of letting John lay on his breast or lay on his bosom and stuff here. If you look here, it says verse 22, then the disciples looked on one another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom. You see that word, that bosom him, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That word bosom, of course, is his breast. But this is not a perversion as it is a position and a place. Amen. This is not dealing with a perverted thing, but this is dealing, mother, with a position and a place in which John had in Jesus's life. Amen. Yeah. We must understand that there was a intimate relationship. When I say intimate, that John was into Jesus and Jesus was into him. Amen. You hear that? This is what was going on here when they were sitting at this particular table, or sitting around the table. He was sitting in a place and a position. So what? Nothing perverted about it. It was the place in which he was sitting. You know, the Bible talks about that, you know, it teaches us not to go sit at the most important place of the table. But it says that when the owner, the master comes in, they'll tell you where to sit at. Amen. So you must understand that John sat where Jesus told him to sit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he sat in a place that was significant here. And so today I'm talking about the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, I want us to understand this, because I don't want us to think that Jesus necessarily had favorites or whatever it is in that context. You're going to find out here that as we move forward here, that Jesus, first of all, you need to know this. He loves all of his disciples. Okay. Can I get an amen? He loves, well, all of his disciples. And I've taught you in this house that the word disciple takes on the connotation or the definition as a pupil, a follower, a learner, someone that sits at the feet of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ said, he spoke to all those that believe. He said this, he spoke to the Jews. He says, for all those that believe, if you continue in my word, then shall ye be my disciples. You hear that? So being a disciple is a continuing thing. It's not that I get saved and I become a disciple. You do become a disciple, but it's a continuing thing. You're always moving in this discipleship. So when we talk about winning people to Christ, we're talking about them getting saved and then coming into a discipleship relationship. Amen. So some of the things that we do when we have the new members classes, those things that we do, those are foundational classes, because we want to help people to start their walk of discipleship. Amen. That's what we want them to do. We want them to have a habit of prayer, a habit of giving, a habit of reading their Bible, those things. We want them to get those foundational things down, understanding about these things, that they may grow up in him. So this is what it means to being a disciple. Now, I want us to understand that as a disciple, and even as Jesus Christ, he loved every one of his disciples, Brother George, every one of them. Now, this is interesting. John is writing this. This is John wrote the gospel, and John wrote some epistles. But John is writing here. I'll tell you what, let's look at this. Look how John, in a sense, kind of writes about himself. John really, the love that John had for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ really had everything to do, more so the love that Jesus had for him. Amen. Yes, sir. It's the love that God, the Bible teaches us that while we were yet sinners. Amen. You know, God, so he loved us while we were yet sinners. Amen. That he commended his love towards us by giving his only begotten son. And what I'm saying to you and to all of us as disciples, while we were sinners, he loved us. Don't you think he's going to love us when we become disciples? What I'm saying is here that Jesus, the disciple whom Jesus loved, we're going to keen in here on John because I believe that there's some distinction about John. And we want to be that disciple on whom he loves. He loves all of his disciples, but there was something that was special about John. Amen. I know the day not going to give me. We ain't got enough time, amen, in this service to talk about John. But we're going to attempt to begin to see some of these things in John's life that will help us to understand that not only does he loves us. You know, this word we see in King James is a word called beloved. He wants us to be of the beloved. Amen. Beloved. I believe beloved, give my definition, is being loved. Amen. He loves you and he wants to love you wherever you at. He wants to love you out of your situation. Amen. Love you out of our sin. Love you out of your situation and your circumstance. He's going to love you out. Somebody say, love me out. He ain't going to pay you out. He's going to love you out. Amen. See, you must understand here that this love that John received didn't have to do anything that he was receiving some wages for some work that he done. You know what I'm saying? Everything that comes from a good God is by the grace of God. Amen. So it was the love of God that John received came strictly through the grace of God. I mean, the ability, the equipment, the free gift, amen, the unmerited favor of God was released upon John. It was released upon John. God had to have someone, amen, a gift of God, amen, for his son Jesus, a son that was suffering saint. He put someone in this life that was going to be like a right-hand man to him. You know what I'm saying? Someone that could be a friend of a friend. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was of the inner circle. I like to look at it this way. I usually like to say, Sundays you see the multitudes. You know, that's what we always want. That's our prayer, really, about the church growth. Lord, send us the multitudes. Send us the heathen, Lord. That's what the Bible said. Give unto us the heathen for our inheritance. Amen. Everybody, nobody else won't send them to the bread of life. Amen. Because we want to see the multitudes in the house. But from the multitude comes the disciples. You know what I'm saying? See, the multitudes may come out on Sunday or whatever. But then when you have Bible study is when the disciples show up. Intercessory prayer, you see Peter, James, and John. You see what I'm saying? The groups get smaller as you go there. So you got the multitudes, amen. You got the I like to say the disciples, and then you got the Peter, James, and John. Now, John was one of those that were of that inner circle, Peter, James, and John. Now, you understand that John's brother was James. John and James was brother. Now, John and James were called what? The sons of thunder. Amen. Jesus named them that. He said, boy, y'all the sons of thunder. Yes, sir. These were the ones that he said, come follow me. But they were the sons of Zebedee. James and John was the sons of Zebedee, and they were called the sons of thunder. And then you had Peter. So Peter, James, and John were those three that was of the inner circle. I'm talking about the disciple in whom Jesus loved. And first and foremost, we must understand that he loved all of his disciples. I want you to see this. I didn't give this to you, Mike, but turn with me to John 15. John chapter 15, verse 13. Hold your place where you're at. John 15, verse 13. When you get there, say amen. It says this. Please follow along with them. It says, greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, this is Jesus Christ. Let's back up to verse 12. Oh, my God. Yes, sir. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have what? Love you. You see, he says that you love one another as I have loved you. What I'm saying to you, some folks that was walking with Jesus had a problem with loving. And so, because you're going to see a little later on, Jesus Christ said this. Jesus Christ said, a new commandment I leave unto you, love one another. So shall the world know that you are my disciples if you what? Love one another. Who was he talking to? He was talking to his disciples. He was talking to his disciples. He was sharing the importance of love. the importance of love here, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And the first thing I want you to understand is Jesus loved, he loves all of his disciples. Now let's look here, verse 12 again. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13, greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my what? Friends. If you do whatever what I command you. Now he's talking to his disciples. You are my friends. If you do, now you're my disciples, but you move, see, if you are a disciple, you are what? A friend of Jesus. Somebody say, I'm a friend of Jesus. I ain't talking about a twin, you're a friend. And hallelujah. We don't even want to be his twin, we want to be just like him. You know what I'm saying? I want to be just like him. But see, I'm a friend of Jesus. But those that are friend of Jesus do what he commands us to do. So he's dealing with them here. Look what he goes on to say. He goes on to say in verse 15, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant know not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you what? Friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made what? Known unto you. He says, yea. Have not chosen me, but I have what? Chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you should ask what of the Father in my name, he may do what? Give it unto you. So what I'm saying is this, all right? We are not only his disciples, but when we come into his disciples, we want to move from servanthood to friends. This is how God said, you remember when the angels came down to Abraham, the three angels that approached him, and they were getting ready to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, mother. They're getting ready to go do it. They're getting ready to go tear it up because of the perversion that was going on over in that place. And them angels were getting ready to leave, and God, the Bible shows it. It says that God thought about this thing. He says, should I let Abraham know about this thing? Should I let Abraham know about this thing? And then he says, because Abraham is my friend, I'll let Abraham know all about him. So when you move from a servant, this is discipleship. I'm going to always be a servant, but I'm really trying to become a son, a servant to a son. But do you ever know when the relationship, like with my son, he's getting older, it's not the same relationship when he first got born. Oh, my God. You hear what I'm saying? When he come out of the womb, when he was a baby, when he was small, you better do what I say. You know you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, I was in complete control, you know, at least I thought I was, you know. But when they grow older, that same realm of discipleship that I'm putting on them is not going to work. So he's getting to that point. I know he said, I sure don't feel like I'm at that point yet. He isn't. Amen. Yeah. He turned 18. He said, we still working on him. But even with Jericho, with our daughter and with our sons, that as they grow up, the relationship changes. Even said, he was my child. He's gonna always be my son. You know, when you're proud, that's your son. Amen. That ain't my boy. That's my son. Amen. And God wants us to move into sonship. He wants all of us to mature and to grow up. But they started out as servants. They got saved. They became his disciples. They were servants. He says, you're no longer. So you've been running with me now for a while. You're no longer my servants. Now I call you my friends. And now that I call you my friends, I'm going to share with you everything that God has shared with me. And so we want to be even as, Israel sings that song, I'm a friend of God. See, yeah, we should be able all to cry that I'm a friend of God simply because I do what he tells me to do. Simply because of that, I do what God tells me to do, and therefore, I am his friend. Amen? I am his friend. Now, not only that, I believe John was his confidant. John was with Peter, James, and John was in that inner circle, and John was that one that always sat right there by him. Always, he was leaning in his direction. Amen? See, what I'm saying is, see, when you think about this Peter, James, and John, see, it's chief among equals. They were all the same in his eyes, but John was the chief among the equal. And so he was leaning in his direction. Amen. So Jesus would lean in the direction of John. Somebody say, Jesus is leaning in my direction. We're going to close on that one. Amen. You're going on, get ready to do it again. Amen. I started to change the title of this. He's leaning in my direction. Amen. But he is. And what I'm understanding is, see, what I want to lay this foundation about today is that not only does he love us, But I want my love for him to be like John's was. I want to be in the inner circle. I want to be the Peter, James, and John. Don't get wrong. I thank God for just being a disciple. I thank God for being a servant. I thank God for being a friend. I ultimately want to be a son. Amen. But I'm telling you, if there's any more space for me to get closer, I want to get closer. See, I just don't want to be satisfied as being one of the disciples or being the Peter, James, or whatnot. I want to be John. I want to be someone that he's leaning in my direction. He's just not going to lean in your direction, amen, just for anything, amen. He's leaning because the same love that he's giving out is the same love that's being reciprocated back to him. You know what I'm saying? You see, is he getting what he's giving? Oh, my God. That's what he's saying. That was what was special about John. Whatever he gave, he got back. Whatever he gave unto him, John's relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ predicated out of everything that was coming out of him to John. It was, you know, John ain't worked something up. John ain't have no checklist. Nah, John's faithfulness to him came out of what was coming out of him. He was reciprocating it back. And this is the type of disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, this is interesting. This is interesting here. See, Jesus didn't give him that title. That ain't Jesus who said he was a disciple whom Jesus loved. That was John who said it. But what I like about John, yeah, John said that. Don't you think he had to be bold enough to say, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. What was interesting about it, though, didn't nobody fuss about it or argue about it. And we're going to talk about that a little later. Didn't nobody make no ruckus about it? And in other places, he said this, Elder Star, he says, and Peter and the other disciple. He talking about himself, the other disciple. I want us to see this here. I want you to see this here. Go back to where you were at in John chapter 13. Look at the text here. Verse 23 again. You see that? He says, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, do you see any red letters there? That's not Jesus saying that. That's John saying that. See, what I'm saying is your love walk can get so, you hear what I'm saying? Well, you get lost in him. I mean, he not being arrogant. He just saying, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. Because I believe he was saying that because he was convinced of it. He was experiencing that love. He got into what he was into. He got into Jesus. And he was saying that I am that disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, let's look at this here. Go with me. Go with me to John 19, verse 26 and 27. John 19, verse 26 and 27. We'll be right here in this book here. John 19, verse 26 and 27. We're talking about leaning on Jesus as the overall. And today we're talking about the disciple whom Jesus loved. Are you at John chapter 19, verse 26? When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved. You see that? The disciple standing by what whom he loved. He said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Now, who is John talking about? John talking about himself. That's who John talking about. Now, this is where you can understand the relationship that he had with Jesus, Charles. He was one. It was not a perverted relationship, but it was a relationship that dealt with the place with God and his position in God. God loved him. He said, I know that God loved me. Jesus loved him. And so much so that Jesus loved him. This is what Jesus did on the cross, getting ready to die. He said, look here now. Look on your, look. He said, look, that's your son. Look, he said, look, you take care of her now. That's what he was telling her. But now, you got to understand, if you're going to tell somebody to take care of your mama, there got to be some relationship going on there. That got to mean that I know you love me to the degree that you're going to do what I tell you to do. And he asked her, he says, now love her. He says, now woman, he told his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple, which was John, took her unto his own home. Amen. I don't think she just went there to get a meal. I believe he took her on in. John, you hear him? Took her on in. John 20, verse 2. Go to 20, verse 2 here. I want you to see this. Now, this was when Jesus was on the cross, what we just talked about. This is Jesus now at the, this is the resurrection, Brother George. Look at here. Now, I'm telling you, man, there's something, the disciple whom Jesus loved. There's something, man, about close to Jesus. There's something about reciprocating the love that you receive from him. Look what he says here, 20 and 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. We know this is the first day of the week. This is Sunday. It says, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter. There goes Simon Peter, one of the inner circle, and said to what? The other disciple. You know who the other disciple is again? Who? It's John. John hides himself. He incognito, a canato. He hides himself in the scripture. What he's saying, he says, I'm the other disciple. I'm the beloved. I'm the one that he loved. I'm the other one. I mean, but he hides himself in Jesus. He hides himself in the love. He's not so much saying it's John. I'm the disciple that he loves. I'm the other disciple. But he's hiding himself. Look what he says here now, because you're going to see his actions here. It says, verse 3, Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, like they were running down there. And the other disciple did outrun Peter. You hear that? John said, I outran him to get down there. Amen. He said, I did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. Look down at verse 8. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw in what? He saw in what? He saw in what? This is a characteristic that we're going to see of a disciple whom Jesus loved. He saw and he believed. Don't you know they went back and so much doubt, fear, and unbelief got on those disciples that Jesus Christ had resurrected? When he went in there, you want to know why? Because he was one of the only disciples that was standing at the cross when Jesus died. You know what I'm saying? The one that, homie, you saw, I'm talking about the one that's going to go the extra mile. The one that's going to be there when ain't nobody else there. You hear what I'm saying? All them other disciples weren't standing at the cross. Nah, she said, nah, look at that right there. John. John was the one. John, the one that loved me like I loved him. John was the one that reciprocated the love. And he said, John, he said, now that's your son. And he said, son, that's your mother. Amen. Take care of her. And then we see here now they go into the sepulchre. He's not in the Mary Magdalene. They come to bring the spice. He's not even there. And then she come back, give Peter the word. They both run down there and they go receive. They go and see him there. And the Bible says that Peter went in first. And then John, even though John got there, John said, nah, you can go on in first. He went in first and then he went in second. And this is what he said. He said that he seen that the napkin and all those things were there, but it says that he said he was resurrected, but he what? Believed. He believed. He believed. He believed that Jesus is who he said he was. He believed that Jesus has resurrected, George. And our question is, if we're going to be a disciple whom Jesus loved, do we believe? Do we believe that he said that he is who he say he is? This is what distinguishes us. This is what distinguishes us with God. Do we believe? Not all the other works, but do you believe? Do you believe here? Now, I want us to see some other things here. Go with me, please, to John 21 and 7. John 21 and 7. Should be in the neighborhood. John 21 and 7. You see here, this is... look at verse 4, John 21, verse 4. It says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. You hear that? This is John writing. He said, the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. You hear what he said? Oh, boy, when you intimate with someone, you can see them from afar. That's Jesus. I can tell by the walk. I can tell by the stride. I can just tell by how they stand. Amen. You know, see, because sometimes this old vision get all fuzzy, and you can look at that. Yeah, that's them. You just because you know them. You don't know them to the point that you know their mannerisms. Amen. They could be standing a certain way, a hand up, a gesture, whatever. You say, yep, that's them. That's them. And it was the same way here. It said that Jesus was standing on the bank. You know what I'm saying? Peter then went back to fishing, and the Bible says all the disciples went with him. And now here go Jesus. They're out there striking, ain't catching any fish again. Them been there, done this one other time. And Jesus standing on the shore. And John comes in and said, none of the disciples knew who he was. And then it gets down that little line. Then he tells Peter, that's Jesus. That's Jesus standing over there. So I'm saying all of this because I want you to have an understanding of the place that John had in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John was one that reciprocated the love that was given unto him. It came back. And we're going to see that Peter was jacked up, and some of them other disciples, you know, they had, I think about the one that didn't even believe, Doubting Thomas, you know, I got to feel his hands and all this, that. He didn't even see Jesus. You know what I'm saying? He went into that sepulcher and said, look, he's not there. He believed that he was resurrected. And this is what this is all about. If I'm going to live a life that is a victory for him, it has to be one of love, that I love him with the love that has been reciprocated or that has been given to me. I must reciprocate it back. And so the key thing of it is that I must receive love. Now, I believe that the disciples had a love problem simply because of what he told them. Love one another. I'm getting ready to leave you. Love one another. I can tell you this, that wasn't a problem with John. That was not a problem with John. John didn't have a problem loving any of them. They knew that John was the right-hand man. They knew that he was the chief among equals when it came to Peter, James, and John. Now, I want us to see this. This is how we're going to close. I want us to see some characteristics here. I'm not going to turn a lot of places based on the time, but I'm going to share with you some characteristics that as I was studying this out that I seen, that I think about when I see that how Jesus observed, or Jesus, I believe the qualifications that Jesus seen in John. I believe this with all of my heart. The first thing I want to say that he was teachable. Somebody say teachable. Hallelujah. Say so I don't know about you, but I want to be a disciple in whom Jesus loved. And I want to be able to declare that without a shadow of a doubt that I know that he loves me. And that not only that, because I have received the love that he has for me. Some of us, we really cannot love because we haven't received the love that he has for us. And we can't love. We're bitter with people. We're all of those types of things with people. It's simply because we don't understand the love that we have been given. We have been given the love that God has given to us didn't have anything to do with what you're doing or how you've carried yourself. It's a free will offering that God so loved the world, first of all, that he gave his only begotten son. If we can understand this love here, we will not hold back anything from anybody that's in our will to give it to him. You know what I'm saying? Because of the love that was given unto us. And when we have this type of love, we have a love for the lost. We have a love when we see people getting killed out here. Young people in the streets are getting killed. Do you know that the folks that are getting killed are younger and younger? I know Mike and y'all guys went to a funeral on Saturday. 19-year-old gentleman that had got shot in the head, young man. They're getting younger, 14, 13, and they don't even know who's killing these folk. We got murderers walking in the streets out here and everything. There's a spirit of murder. The number has went back up, increased to what it was from years ago. And so there are some issues out there in the street. And I'm telling you what they need. They need the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus must be shared abroad in our hearts. The same love that he loved us with is the same love that they must experience and they must get. I want to say this to you. So let's think about the disciples whom Jesus loved. Some of the characteristics. Number one, teachable. Somebody say teachable. Now, we must all be teachable people. We must all be teachable people. See, he received everything that Jesus revealed unto him, elder. Everything that revealed him. One thing I've learned, I used to be a substitute teacher. And this is something about, so this is when I look at all the disciples. Jesus, I believe, was operating out of the same principle. See, when I was a substitute teacher, I would go into that classroom. I don't know anyone. The teacher would always leave me what? A lesson plan. Somebody said lesson plan. A lesson plan was that plan for me to go by. If you just come in here and do this thing and do that. So I've always had this lesson plan. And then always at the end, in the event that you have some issues or you don't know what to do, call on Johnny to help you. They didn't say the teacher next door, the principal, the assistant principal. No, they said Johnny. What was Johnny at? Johnny was in what? Johnny was the beloved. Johnny did what the teacher told him to do. Johnny come to school. Johnny on the spot. Johnny on time. Johnny got his homework done. You want me to sharpen the pencils? You want me to hand out the papers? That's Johnny. You hear what I'm saying? Johnny was teachable. Johnny was teachable. See, and this is the same spirit that John had on him. John was teachable. Whatever needed to be done. So when Jesus needed something to do, what he could look to. That's the type of person that we want to be. That's the type of characteristic that we want to have in the eyes of our Lord. I believe that the eyes of our Lord, I believe he says he was teachable. He believed everything that Jesus taught him. He was teachable in this thing. Amen. Say, I'm teachable. Amen. We want to be teachable in this thing. Another thing that I seen when I was seeing this, he was a quick learner. He was a quick learner. He wasn't argumentative about things. He won't have to be cautious in this thing. If Jesus said it, he believed it. If he said it, he believed it. It's the same thing just as we talked about him going to the tomb. When he went to that tomb and he seen Jesus Christ was not there. Jesus Christ had told them that he would die. He was going to be in the earth how many days? And he was going to resurrect. He didn't have any. He believed it. And not only did he believe it, he was a quick learner. Soon he seen him not in there. The Bible said, John, and he believed. But you go back, doubting Thomas. Jesus had to walk in the room where they were at for them to believe that he had resurrected him. But you got to understand, John believed it at the sepulcher. When he was went in there and looked, he said, man, all I see is this little napkin rolled up, the stone been rolled away. He ain't here. I believe in John. John came out of John. He is risen. He already believed it. It was he already believed this thing. So he was a quick learner. Say, he caught on early. Now, you know what happened? Now, you can tell the disciples had some issues, Elder, because this is what's going on. They sit in the house. Everybody is there but Doubting Thomas. Jesus walks in the house and showed his resurrected body unto them, and they know he resurrected. Now, Thomas comes back. He out doing something. Thomas comes back. All of them, all 10 of them tell him, look, Jesus showed up, man. He came in the house and he showed us his whole body. Well, I ain't going to believe unless I see it for myself. And you know what happened? The Bible says about 8 days later, Jesus, a new beginning. Jesus walked through the door. Thomas was in there by himself. He said, boy, check me out. Feel me there. Amen. And he says, now blessed that you believe because you see, but blessed are those that believe and they do not see. I mean, you got to be a quick learner when it comes to Jesus. You got to be a quick learner. If he said it, you got to believe it. You got to be a quick learner when it comes to Jesus. You ain't got no time. Well, I don't know. That don't sound like. Now, if his word says it, you got to believe it and you got to move out on it. John was one boy. He was a quick learner. Not only that, he had a very keen eye. He had a very keen eye. I believe he was one of those. He was one of those that I like to say he had a eagle's eye. He had. He looked at the spiritual meaning behind things. He wasn't just a surface level Christian. He got behind the word of God. You know what I'm saying? He studied to show himself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Amen. He wrapped himself. You know what I'm saying? How some folks say some, this is a saying some folks say, when I'm trying to wrap myself around it. Amen. Nah, John wrapped himself around it. You know what I'm saying? He wrapped himself around the word of God. He got in the word of God and the word of God got in him. Everything that Jesus said he believed it. He was a quick learner. You know what I'm saying? He had a very keen eye for the things of God. Amen. A very keen eye. Not only that, not the keen eye, but he was spiritually minded. Somebody say spiritually minded. See, not only did he walk according to the letter, but he walked according to the Spirit of God. He was spiritually minded in the things that he did. Very spiritually minded. So he was, say, had a teachable. He was teachable, quick learner, very keen eye, and he was spiritually minded. Spiritually minded. Spiritually minded. He had his eyes were, he thought in the eternal. He thought heaven coming to the earth. He thought supernaturally. He believed Jesus. If he could do it, if he said, he believed the miracles. He believed the resurrection. He believed everything about him. Amen. He believed. And that's the big point. That's the other point I want to make. Somebody said he was a believer. He was a believer. He believed on what happened at the cross. He believed on what happened as far as the resurrection was concerned. He believed in what Jesus Christ said, I'm going to go back and be with the Father at the right hand. He believed that, hey, we got to go out and to do the Great Commission. He believed all of these things because he is the apostle of love. He wrote the book of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John as well. And all that book is about what? Love. And I believe he's sharing about the love that we should have for one another. Brotherly love. Amen. Word love, not just in word, but love indeed. Amen. Love in your actions. This is a love thing. The disciple whom he loved. But he was a believer. He was a believer. Amen. He had faith in God. He had faith in the things of God. The sixth thing I want to say that he was receptive. When I say receptive, he drank that which he was taught. Receptive. Whatever was given to him, he partook of it. He absorbed that which Jesus Christ gave unto him. That goes back like a teachable spirit. He absorbed those types of things here. Not only that, he had a love for his teacher. A love for his teacher. So much so, he got out of bounds a couple of times. Do you remember the time? Now, he's running with Jesus now. He's Jesus' disciples. You remember they run up on a group of folks. Now, he was indignant and intolerant. John was, because John loved Jesus. He loved Jesus so much so, if you won't down with Jesus, you won't down with the enemy. You ain't down if you ain't down with Jesus. Do you remember when Jesus then was going about, him and the disciples, and there were some other folks that were casting out devils? Yeah. And they were not of that right there. And Jesus had to deal with John about that. Because John was, look, you can't, not stop it. You can't do it. What I'm saying is he had a love for his teacher. So much so, if he seen someone that wasn't connected with his teacher, he was going to question him. But Jesus had to straighten him out. He said, but those that do the things, that do the works of God, he said, they are part of us, son. He said, now don't go. But he was all over. He was intolerant, but he loved his teacher. It come out of loving his teacher. How about those that when they went into Samaria, the Samaritans did not receive Jesus. John said, I tell you what, we get ready to call down fire from heaven to consume them right now. That was John. That was John. That was him. He said, we're going to call down fire right now and we will consume them. And Jesus looked at him and said, nah, don't do that, boy. Don't do that. He had a love for his teacher, though. And his love was so much, amen, that you know, he was going to be the one that was going to be Johnny on the spot. He was indignant in some ways and was intolerable when it came to people sometimes. But this is one of the last ones. And I know these are not all of them. But this is what I really like about John. John was a person that cared. He cared for others. He cared. He cared for others, Brother Joyce. What you talking about, Pastor? You know, some of the most difficult people to care for are the people that are around you not doing right. They're the most difficult. I can go, it's easy for me to go care for someone out there in the streets not living right than for a saint that know right ain't living right. You see what I'm saying? The option is just go get somebody that they're ignorant. Be not ignorant. You're ignorant. But John was that type that not only did he love those out there, he loved those on the inside as well. What you talking about, Pastor? Well, we know what Peter done. He said, Peter said, I'm going to go with you to the end. No, you're not, Peter. And I'm telling you, before the clock strikes, the cross, you're going to deny me how many times? Three times. And did Peter do it? He denied him every time. Now, isn't it interesting? This is when they come to take Jesus. He denied him. And then when they asked him, I don't know who he is. You remember when he was standing by, he was in that place saying, you look like one of the disciples. I don't know who he is. That was Peter. See, that was very different than John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, or the other disciple. You see the spirit? You can be a disciple, but you just in the number. But I want to be a disciple whom Jesus loved. And what I'm saying is you got to be able to make that declaration yourself. Don't nobody else need to make that. Now, that's the disciple. But I believe that when you're able to make that declaration, everybody just going to be able to say, amen. So be it, because they see the love that you got. You love like he loves. And I'm telling you, did nobody else stoop down to go get Peter but John? Why didn't he? Well, think about it. They come back and tell Peter something, Mary Magdalene, and you know, John decided to go down there with him. He backslidden as backslidden can be. I'm talking about Peter. Yes, he was. Think about what he did. A little later on, they out fishing. Who in the coop? John with them. John down with them. See, John wasn't one of those that had to be the leader. See, to love, you ain't got to lead. Oh, my God. You ain't got to be a leader to love. A lover influences the leader. Oh, my God. I'm talking about John was one of those. Look, Jesus made a place for him, not because he was boisterous, not because he did all of this, not because he loved like I loved him. He loved back. And not only did he love back, he loved other people the same way. I believe John had love for all of those disciples because he was reciprocating the love that Jesus had given to him. And they knew that he was in the inner circle. They knew he was Jesus' right-hand man. Why? Because he loved him. And he loved all his disciples, I believe, the same way. Jesus had the same love. He has the same love for every one of you that are sitting here today. But the question is, where are you sitting at amongst the table? Are you the disciple in whom Jesus loved? Can you make that testimony about yourself? What I'm saying, look, what John didn't take no big deal that was about him. He says, Peter and I'm just the other disciple. I'm just the other disciple. But he was the one whom laid on the breast of Jesus. He was the one that this weren't perverted. It was positioned in a place that Jesus had made for him. He was his confidant. He was a friend that sticky. He said, I'm a friend that's thicker closer than a brother. But John was that type of friend. It was like the David and Jonathan relationship. It was that type of relationship. It was like the Elijah and the Elijah relationship. He needed someone to go with him, to go with him the distance. What I'm saying to you, John went the distance with Jesus. And not only did John go the distance, see, when you can go the distance with Jesus, you can go the distance with other people. Well, how can you? You got to qualify that, Pastor. John was backslidden as backslidden. Peter was backslidden as backslidden can be. And when you backslidden, you go back doing what you was doing before you met Jesus. And he went back to do what? He went back to fishing. But it was John that stood up and said, Peter, that's Jesus that stands over there. The Bible says Peter got his act together. He covered up himself. He jumped in the water and he went to Jesus. John always directs us back to the one that loves us. He went back. You know the attitude of Peter. You know it, Peter. Isn't it interesting when he dealt with Peter? Peter, do you love me? That's what Jesus said. That's what he asked him as a disciple. Do you love me? Do you love me? Isn't it interesting? He didn't have to ask John that. He didn't have to say, well, John, do you love me? Do you love me, John? John had a love for the people, for God's people. So much so the disciples received him as God. You remember when at the opening text, this is what you remember what it said? When Jesus said, whoever sups with me gonna be the one. And the Bible said they all doubted. And then it says Peter asked John to ask Jesus who it was. You John was of the beloved. John loved him. He believed him. Jesus leaned towards him because I believe that John leaned towards him. I'm talking about leaning on Jesus. Leaning on him. Can we trust him and believe him? Where, you know what? I ain't got to go to the preacher to find out. I can ask Jesus. You can always tell where people are at when they ask you, can you do this? Don't get me, there's nothing wrong with interceding. But when you ask me to do something, I want to ask you, are you doing it too? Don't have me to go. See, most folks ask you that because they believe you got an inside track with God. And they don't. But I'm here to tell you that God wants all of us. He loves all of us the same way he loved John. He didn't want all of us to have this inside track. Amen. Peter was still being Peter. When he got through asking him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Peter asked, well, what you going to do for John? Because he told him how he was going to die and everything. Like that. He said, well, what you going to do with John? And in so many words, Jesus really told Peter, none of your business. What I'm going to do with John. You know what I'm saying? Amen. None of your business. That ain't how he said it. But if you go read it, you know that what he said. Really, stay out of matters that are too high for you. That's basically what Jesus was telling Peter. Too high for you. But John loved Peter to bring him back. So much so to bring him back into the beloved. To walk with him. And this is what God is looking for. When we're talking about leaning on Jesus in 2014, Brother Eric, we're talking about leaning, man. And the reason why we're going to lean towards him, because he's leaning in our direction. I'm going to reciprocate the love that he gives to me back to him, and not only back to him, but to others. I always look at love. Look at the L. It's like this. That's the L, right? Love up. And love out. That's it. If you can get this love thing out, the Bible says that when we are at peace with God, he makes even our enemies. You see what I'm saying? Our enemies. Your enemy will love you. Everybody will love you and receive you. If you can choose to say, I'm going to be the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's a declaration that you can make. That's a decree that you can make. 2014, that's what I'm saying for this church. We're going to be a church whom Jesus loves. And we know he already loves us. He's leaning in our direction. Come on up, praise and worship. Hallelujah.